The reading this morning comes from Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them straight right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They bought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're so grateful to Lizette for stepping in to speak to us this morning. Lizette, it takes a lot of courage. Well done. I'm so excited for what you've got to say. So can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Lord, we thank you for Lizette, and thank you for all she gives to this church family and particularly this gathering, all the admin that she does in the office, Lord, for us. And I just pray your blessing on her as she speaks to us, that you will just fill her with your Holy Spirit and help us to be receptive vessels for the word she speaks today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So this morning, having discussed what I was going to talk about with Janet, I've actually gone off on a bit of a tangent, but there we go. Sometimes we have a plan and it doesn't turn out as we expect, and that's kind of where I'm going this morning, and I'm sure you've all been there. And I'm just going to tell you a short story about when my son was, I think, a second grader. He was quite small at the time. We lived quite close to school, and we often walked in and out, but I'd had the car, and I'd pick the kids up, put them in the car. We stopped off in the shop on the way home, and just as we were getting back in the car, Josh decided not to get in the car, and he said, "I bet you €5 I can make it home before you." We were living in Germany at the time. I said, no, you have to get in the car. He was quite adamant, and I thought, it's fine, it's quite a residential neighbourhood, there weren't too many cars around, I can follow my car, it's all good, fine. Not my best parental moment decision, I have to say, but there we go. So he shuts the door and immediately leaps in front of my car. I thought I'd been duped. So he walked in front of my car the whole way home, so that I did try at one point to overtake him, but that failed. So he runs up to the front door, slaps his hand on it and says, €5, please. So that was a plan that really hadn't turned out quite as I expected. So we come to the crowds and the Pharisees and the disciples, all part of this huge event that's about to take place. But it didn't turn out as any of these people expected. So people wave their palm branches, not crosses, but branches, It was a traditional thing that they waved these when an important figure came into town. It was a national symbol of victory. And they would chant Hosanna, which means save us now. But I think their perspective was more what's in it for me. I don't think they were looking for someone to come and absolve them of their sin. They were looking to get the Romans off their backs. They'd heard Jesus was coming. They'd heard he'd done some amazing things. He'd risen Lazarus from the dead. So they figured he can deal with the Romans. When they thought that Jesus was coming to help them, in John 12:13, it says they chanted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. But soon they realized that that wasn't the plan. And those very same people changed their chant. And in John 19, we read, but they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Human nature leads us to be self-centered, which leads to deception. And we have to fight this. We have to focus on not on what we want or what we expect, but what we need. The Pharisees also didn't see what was coming. They knew scripture. Even in the book of Daniel, it was prophesied the exact day when he would come and enter the city. So you'd thought they'd had a better eye on the calendar. But they didn't see it. Zechariah also prophesied that Jesus would enter the city riding on the colt of a donkey. They missed it. Their perspective and expectation was, I am in control. The Pharisees had a pretty good thing going on. The Romans pretty much let them get on and rule and do as they pleased and as they saw fit. And here was Jesus, and they were worried that he would come along and mess up their good thing. In John, again, in chapter 12, we read that the Pharisees said to each other, we've lost. Look, the whole world has gone after him. Their desire to control created an unteachable heart. Because even though they read and they knew in scripture that this was coming, they missed it. Their hearts were hard, unteachable through their desire to be in control. The disciples, they'd committed to following Jesus. They followed his teachings, they walked with him. But Jesus had been holding them back. When Jesus had healed the lepers, he said to them, you can tell the priests, but don't tell anyone else. When he'd come down from the mountain, he'd said, don't tell anyone. He held them back. In John 8, we're told, he says, my time has not yet come. But here they are coming into Jerusalem, and the crowds are cheering, and the disciples must be thinking, this is great. This is fabulous. This is our time now. Everyone's so excited. And the Pharisees say to Jesus, you need to shut these people down. It wasn't going as they had wanted or expected. It was out of their control. But Jesus had said to them, no, let them sing my praises. Because if they don't, the rocks under your feet will sing my praises. Let the people worship him, and I will be. And I would think, I don't know what I'd think, but I think I wouldn't be a pretty good disciple at that time. I think in those shoes, I would probably be a little big-headed and say to them, what are you going to do about that? They'd missed the point. Jesus was not coming to Jerusalem to be crowned with a crown of gold and jewels, and nor was he coming to sit on an earthly throne. Their perspective was not like this. In Matthew 16, I haven't written this bit down, got a bad finger, actually, I fell over and couldn't type everything out properly, so I'm just going to refer back to my Bible. Matthew 16, oh, I haven't, yes, here we go. Matthew 16. In 21 to 22, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Not like this. A lack of trust in God's plans leads to blindness. Blindness to what matters. The disciples thought Jesus would take up an earthly throne, but that wasn't the point. That was never the plan. Our difficulties in life produce character traits that help us thrive and live a fruitful Christian life. I'm not sure I really want to go through those bad times. I would just like those good character traits just kind of inserted in me somehow, like going through the Costa drive-through, but rather asking for a coffee, saying, I'll just have a cup of wisdom today. But it doesn't work that way. All these groups of people saw the entrance, but it was not what any of them expected. And when Jesus enters into our lives, into our situation, he creates a disruption. He's a bit of a disruptor. He knew when he met Peter and Andrew fishing on the Sea of Galilee that they wanted more out of life, and he disrupted. In Matthew 4:19-20, it talks of this, and they knew there was more to life than what was going on that day. Our conscious thinking ceases, and ingrained patterns sometimes take over. So have you ever had that moment when you're getting in the car to go somewhere that you don't normally go, and you end up in the place where you do normally go? So the other day, my husband asked me to run an errand. Could I go to Screwfix and pick up some spanner or something? I'd gotten in the car, I headed off, and because I'd had shopping in my mind, I ended up at Cribbs Causeway. Completely the wrong place. And it's those ingrained patterns that overtake what we really want to be thinking about. I don't think they're healthy, and you end up doing the same old thing, and you get stuck in a rut. I'm stealing this from something I'd heard. A robotic, unchallenged thinking. I like that one. But Jesus comes along and shakes things up and takes you out of your rut. He disrupts things. He brings a new perspective. I was on the train to London. Here's about perspectives. When I used to go backwards and forwards to London, a lot of you will remember, I would turn up quite huffy and puffy on a Wednesday morning, having caught the train from London. And I got on the train once, and I was looking for my seat that I'd reserved, and there was this terrible, terrible smell. And I thought, I hadn't eaten, it was quite early in the morning, and I thought, uh-oh. I had that watery sensation in my mouth, and I thought, that smell is going to make me throw up. It was hideous. And I looked round, and someone was pulling out their McDonald's breakfast burger. And on the side, they had these hash browns, which I love. And I could smell these hash browns. And suddenly I thought, oh, that smells really good. Really like some of that. As soon as I saw it, and I knew what it was, my perspective completely changed. And as our relationship with Jesus deepens and develops, our perspectives change. In John 12, verse 16, 14 says, at first his disciples did not understand this at all. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him. So now they get it. Now they understand what Jesus was there to do. Their perspective had changed. And often God's perspective with what he wants from us is not the same as ours. But if we have faith in our relationship with God, we can see things through his perspective. When Jesus comes into our lives and our situation, he brings disruption and he creates new perspectives. And that brings us to that Hosanna moment. People were waving their palms and chanting Hosanna in a kind of greeting, like if King Charles were to walk through town, we'd shout, God save the king. But what Hosanna really means is relief from the crushing weight. In Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he did so as an act of surrender. Jesus surrendered to his Father because the Father knows best. And we need to submit our lives to Jesus because he knows best for us. And we can give him a bit, and he can work with that. But the more we give him, the more we receive. He takes that weight of life off our shoulders. Father, thanks you for entering our lives. And I'd like to pray now about that. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a disruptor. Thank you for entering our lives. And even though I know I let you down, I know I make mistakes, and sometimes it's the same one over and over, I know you still love me, and I know you still forgive me. I pray that everyone here today will let you in, and that you will give them that Hosanna moment, and that they will feel light, and they will have room to breathe. In Jesus' name, amen.